Turn to Jude, and we're going to read the first few verses from Jude. The topic for the sermon is very similar to the topic for the Bible study this morning. So this must be something that God wants us to think about and be aware of. I'm going to talk about how faith, just because you believe now, doesn't mean you're always going to believe. Amen. And that faith has to be something that's maintained, and it's a present tense word, not a past tense. But my text is from Jude verse 5, and I'll just read verses 1 through 7 here. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered for all, unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So then he goes on to talk about these wicked men coming in and trying to bring in just sinfulness, arrogance, many of the things that were talked about in 2 Peter 2 this morning. But it says he reminds them about the Israelites. And he said in verse 5 that after he saved them out of the land of Egypt, then afterward, he destroyed those. And who did he destroy? Those who didn't believe. So there's something that we have to continue to do. And that's, it says, earnestly contend for the faith. Contend or fight or strive to maintain the faith. So today, then, is an exhortation to all of us that we need to maintain that faith. We got to continue believing. Now, in Exodus, when Moses first came to the people, Exodus 4:30, it says, Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. So there was at one point where the people did believe. Moses came to them and they believed what he told them. They believed that God had come to save them from Egypt. But then, after they went through the wilderness, it says that God destroyed them that believed not. So they went from believing to not believing. And this is something that we have to be aware of, and we need to guard our faith and make sure that we continue in the faith. Amen. Psalm 106 is giving the account of the Israelites. In verse 9 it says, he rebuked the sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of them that hated them. and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. So they believed, but it says they soon forgot about his works.
Right.
And we never want to be in this situation. We saw the fate of those who didn't believe. And Jude is saying that that's the same fate that awaits those who fall away and lose the faith. It seems crazy that they would go from singing God's praise to the next verse saying that they tempted God and forgetting his works. But what we need to understand is that this is not just the forces that we see that are in play here. It's spiritual forces that are much stronger than we are. So it's easy for people to think that they're in control and they can, you know, I believe today, and, you know, even if I let myself go for a little while, I'll continue back, I'll continue believing and understanding what I know now. But Satan has control. He's the god of this world. He's what the world worships and has control over them. And if we don't have God and his spirit keeping us, then we are no match for him.
Amen.
It says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So when it says depart from the faith, it means that they were in the faith before, and now they hear these spirits, these alluring spirits telling them things that are not true. And it says what happens is they depart from the faith. So they no longer believe what God says. And this is what happened to Eve when the devil came and asked her or and told her something else. She listened to that seducing spirit and she didn't no longer believed what God told her. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. It's like the boat was sailing along, and then they didn't continue to hold that faith and good conscience, and the ship was wrecked. That was lost. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Like there are all these other forces that try to make you err. And I think err might be even a more subtle term than departing from the faith. It's like it pushes you off to the side and you get angled away and continue to get worse. And you lose the faith. And then there are also temptations and trials. Remember the parable of the sower, when there's a rock, the seed on the rock that sprang up for a while and then it withered. Jesus said, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe. And in the time of temptation, fall away. So then what changed? They believed, and then they went away from the believing. They didn't believe what God said. Which leads into the next point, and that is we live and we maintain life by faith. In Romans 1:16 and 17, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's from faith, as in it starts with faith. It starts by believing the gospel, and then to faith, meaning that faith or our life is maintained by faith. So we start with faith, and we have to continue through with faith. That's what keeps us alive in God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So faith is, like I said, faith is not a word regarding something in the past. It's not that I believed. It's do you believe? Believing is something you do now. And we need to remember and continue on with believing. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith, not by sight. If you could see for your first step, but then you close your eyes, you're going to fall into the ditch. Walking is like every step. You need to see what's ahead of you, and that's done by faith. Romans 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So believing is really vain unless it's continued. We have to continue hearing the word, the gospel. It says that the gospel was preached, they received it, and they stand in it. But then they're not, it says, by which you are saved if you keep in memory. So we heard it, we received it, we're standing in it, but you don't get saved unless you keep it in memory. Otherwise, the belief that you had up front is in vain. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It says that we are justified by faith and we have peace with God by faith, but then it says we have access by faith into grace. So justification and peace with God was brought about by when we believed the first time. But then we have access by faith to grace. So apart from grace, we wouldn't be able to stand. So faith continues to give us access to that grace. It was necessary in the beginning, but it's necessary now. It says, "We in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." And if we stop believing what God has said, we've suddenly lost access with confidence to God. Faith is how we can't see God. That's the way we get to God, is by faith. Colossians 1:21-23, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now we know God is perfectly able to, Jesus is perfectly able to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. There is no lack on Jesus' part. Mm-hmm. But it says, if ye continue in the faith. Faith is what gives us access to Christ. And Satan wants to put doubts in our minds about what Christ has done or about what you know, what heaven is or whether God's protection is on us, but whatever it is, if you lose the faith, you've just lost access to Christ. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So there's a, we are kept by God. God protects us. I mean, if God didn't protect us, none of us would make it for any amount of time. But the way God keeps us, it says, is through faith. And then Romans 11:17 is talking about the Gentiles, how the Gentiles had believed and the Jews had not. But in verse 17, he says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt then say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. But for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So there's a temptation for the Gentiles to say, well, we made it in, and the Jews, they fell away, they couldn't make it in, and God really just wanted us. But Paul reminds them that they were, their branch, the branch of the Jews, was broken off because of unbelief. And then it says, thou standest by faith. So we're in because of faith, and they're out because of unbelief. But at any moment, if we go from faith to unbelief, we'll be broken off just the same way. I don't want to say it's a precarious position, because when we have faith, we are fully accepted, we're supported by God, we're kept by his power.
Amen.
And we have all things that pertain to life and godliness through Christ. But it is precarious in that if we would throw away our faith, if we stop believing what God has said, then, you know, we have nothing to stand on our own.
That's right.
So it says, be not high-minded, but fear. So then let's talk about some exhortations to continue in the faith. There's, given that faith is how we stand and how we walk by faith, it really stands to reason that this is Satan's strongest attack, is to attack whether or not you believe what God said. Because that, when you, believing in Christ is what keeps us in Christ, and we're saved, and we're holy before God in Christ as we believe him. We have grace by faith. God gives us the strength to follow him by faith. So this is where Satan tries to undermine, and we need to be aware and try to recognize when Satan throws some fiery dart at us, what is this doing to try to undermine our faith and hold on to what God says? And it's not easy either. Acts 14:19 And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So there's exhortation that has to happen to continue in the faith. And the reason is that it's much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. It's not easy to continue in the faith. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to be warned about it. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." From 1 Corinthians 16:13. So, being strong, the being like full-grown men, what that means is continuing in the faith. If you really want to be strong, make sure you continue to believe.
Amen.
Philippians 1:27. "Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for what? For the faith of the gospel." And this one is talking about the church as a whole, in one spirit, one mind, striving for that faith. And that's what we're doing today, is trying to exhort one another to strive for the faith of the gospel. At the end of Jude, in verse 20, it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So we build ourselves up. Make it your building project to work, build up your faith. Mm-hmm. Let's try to make it stronger, not just let it continue on and let Satan continue to try to break it down.
Yes.
Let's build ourselves up. And once again, here's a building yourselves, not just yourself, but one another. We want to help build one another's faith. There's also there's the struggles from Satan trying to bring tribulation or doubt, but there's also struggles from within us. Paul said that he counts all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And Paul here was striving not to have his own righteousness. So even, you know, there are external forces that work against faith, but even our own righteousness, thinking that what we've done is justifying us before God, that is just the enemy of faith.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so there's these exhortations to continue in the faith, but the way we do that is by looking to Christ. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." So when we hear the exhortations to continue in the faith, it's our effort, and we're seeking to continue to be in God's Word, to have fellowship with one another, to put down the doubts that Satan tries to put in our mind. But the real, only the power behind this is when we look to Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's the one who started our faith. Mm-hmm. It's his gospel that allowed us to believe. And he's also the finisher of our faith. Jesus will maintain our faith as we look to him.
Amen.
So now I'd like to give you some good reports, some good examples of maintaining the faith and places where the apostles are commending people for staying in the faith. One is from 1 Thessalonians 3:4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And ye know, we told you before it was going to be hard, and there it came to pass. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So the thing that Paul was concerned about was their faith. You know, what did these tribulations, did they weaken or shake their faith? But it says, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have a good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, and we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. He was concerned about their faith, but when he got the good report, he was comforted by their faith. And of course, the faith brings about many good actions, but it was the faith that Paul was concerned about. And that's what we really should rejoice in when we see our brethren standing fast in the Lord. Rejoice that God is maintaining their faith. Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So Paul's conclusion toward the end of his life is that he kept the faith. And if he kept the faith, that's really, everything else will follow that. Mm-hmm. Paul continued to believe what Christ had said and did to the end of his life, even through the many trials that we see documented in the Word. Colossians also was a book written with rejoicing in their faith. Colossians 2:5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ.
Amen.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But notice he does warn them then. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And Paul was rejoicing to see the steadfastness of their faith. But then he continues to tell them, you need to be established in the faith and watch out. Because once again, faith isn't something that you can run on yesterday's faith. He continues to exhort them. I'm glad that you're in the faith, but continue in it. Keep believing. Just a couple more here. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So it's appropriate for us to rejoice in our brethren that they continue, they keep the faith. And these, the Thessalonians, it says their faith groweth exceedingly. And so they didn't just keep it, but they're continuing to have stronger and stronger faith. And then there's the father of faith in, or the father of them who believe in Abraham. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And we heard about this earlier today too, that Abraham had to wait for all those years for Isaac, and yet it said that he didn't stagger. There was a weight of a promise that seemed very distant and very, well, of course, impossible to fulfill. But Abraham maintained the faith even through the years of seeing that there was really no progress being made toward having a son. It's not like they could get any closer. It looked like everything was continuing on as it had been. And we too sometimes see no progress. But when God says something, we really have every reason to believe that it's going to come to pass. And just looking at Abraham here, we see that when you maintain the faith, you do receive the promise. So then just some different random thoughts here. It says that we're supposed to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. So there's something that we need to, as part of striving for the faith, we want to look at ourselves and make sure that we're continuing to believe what God said. Amen. There will be evidence in our lives if we do. If you find that you have fallen into sin, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The most important thing, if you fall, is that your faith is not does not disappear.
Yeah.
And as long as Peter continued to believe after he fell, if he came back and believed what Christ had said, then God had the power of God to restore him and bring him back. And then we don't want our faith to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the preaching should not be with man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Mm-hmm.
So as we hear God's word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we hear God's word, that's what's going to help maintain our faith.
Amen.
All right, so anybody have any thoughts they'd like to bring up?
I really like that point that you made at the very initial part of it, that faith is not a past tense word.
Mm-hmm.
It is a present tense, and not only present, but it's also a future tense word. Because you've got to have it now, you've got to have it then. And it's growing. It's a continual growth. So it's not stagnant, it's continually growing. And I was thinking that Sarah, you brought up Sarah and Abraham. Sarah was not pregnant for 25 years. So Abraham had to believe, like you said, with no evidence at all.
Right.
But his faith is the substance of the things not seen, the evidence
Amen.
Of the things hoped for. So Abraham knew. Abraham never, he was persuaded. He hoped against hope. He knew that Isaac was going to come, and God didn't tell him, okay, you're 99, you're going to have a son. Or you're 100, you're going to have a son at 75 years old. No, he waited until he got to 99. Okay, next year you're going to have this boy, this promised son. So we see that waiting is sometimes kind of this whole Lord's Day, the Bible study, the morning thought, and the preaching, it all seemed to focus on waiting, perseverance, our faith. So I really think that the Lord is really trying to teach us something today.
Amen. If you're really that interested in pleasing God, it's going to be because you see how much He loves us and that we want to please Him back. Mm-hmm. So we need to recognize the length of God's efforts of having us as sons and daughters.
Is abiding in the vine. Jesus said, if any man abide in me, or if any man abide not in me, he's cut off and gathered and then burned them. So the faith is what we hold on to abide in Christ. And that, by emphasizing faith here, as the scripture does, while we're holding on to his faith, it takes it out of the realm of works. We're not earning our salvation by what we do. We're holding on to faith. And faith is categorically declared to be not of works. Faith and works are not of the same. But it says it is. Otherwise, it is
no more work.
Yeah. If it is of faith, then it is no more works.
Grace. But still, grace to be saved through faith, but that's how you have access into grace anyway.
Lack of faith is always the root cause for any bad symptoms. Okay, well, thank you for your attention. Let's stand together.